I've been seeking the Lord rather diligently myself in the last week or so, especially in this past week, about some situations in my own life, some areas where, one in particular, where I need the mind of the Lord and I need it bad. It's one of those cases where if you don't show me what to do, I don't know what to do. And been fasting and praying along those lines. And he's shown me a number of things through the scripture. And essentially what he gave me was not any direction. In other words, I was looking for something to do. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he gave me nothing to do, but he just filled my heart with courage and filled me with encouragement and exhortation and strength. And since he didn't show me what to do, I'm going to do nothing and just trust him. Amen. Because if I did anything, I'd be doing it in the flesh. And the scripture says the arm of flesh will fail you. Now, I could solve my problem in the flesh. I could do it in my own strength and my own wisdom. But I know if I did that, that I would be A, disobedient, and B, I would be forfeiting a substantial portion of his blessing in my life, just throwing it away. And so I decided not to do that. And in these intervening days, as I've been seeking the Lord, he's been giving me lots of scripture, and I don't even remember all the scriptures he gave. I wrote them down, but I don't remember what they were. But today, as I see the direction that the service is moving, apparently there are a number of people in the congregation today, maybe lots, who are in various stages of that kind of a situation yourself. And two passages of scripture come to me while we're praising the Lord here. And I'm just going to open the word and just begin to share those. And I don't know what the Lord may have to say along these lines this morning. This is not the direction I intended to go, but I've learned how to be obedient to him and to simply follow the direction that he's leading. This morning, Don and I prayed before the service, and we committed the service and the time and so on to him and asked him to exalt himself and to bless his people. And we asked him to use us and direct us in the direction of the service and the musicians and so on. And then we said to him, if we're not responsive to your voice, move us out of the way and use someone else. So that's really the way we feel today. We want the Lord to be having his way in the service. And so I'm just going to take you into the Psalms, the 21st first. And then I've got another one that I believe we'll go to. What I'm going to do is I'm going to minister the word this morning just the way I read it when he and I are together alone. And what will happen there in times I have time that I read chronologically through the word, and I spend time each day in that. But at other times when I just say, Lord, where would you have me to read now? And he'll take me to a particular passage, and I will open it, and I'll start to read. And if I'm at a place where I can, I try to read aloud because it slows me down. And it's easier for me to get what he's trying to say if I read to myself out loud. And I'll read along, and when I hit something that strikes my attention, then I'll stop and meditate on that and chew on that, maybe research it a little bit and so on, and just kind of eat that way. It's kind of like taking a plate, and you go around your plate and you take a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. When you get to something that you really like, you just stay there a while and eat on that. And so essentially that's what I'm going to do this morning, starting here in Psalm 21. I don't remember what's in Psalm 21, and I don't remember what's in Psalm 25, which is the other one I want to share with you this morning. But I just feel impressed to start reading it and then comment on it under the unction of the Holy Ghost as he gives it to us. David here is talking about himself. He's the king over Israel. So this is a personal declaration. When he says the king, he means I. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Now, may I encourage you, please, today, do not be as attentive to my words as you are to the voice of the Spirit of God. For as we're going through this, there may be something that will just really minister to your heart, and God wants us to do nothing more than just read it, and he wants to speak to you out of it. I may not catch the meaning there, but you'll catch it. So listen carefully now to what the Spirit of God wants to say. Thou hast given him, the king, me. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. You did not hold back that which I ask you for. Selah. For thou preventest him, the word preventest here means precedes or anticipated. Thou hast anticipated him with the blessings of goodness. In other words, you blessed me before I could even want it. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. That ministers to my heart. I don't know exactly what it ministers, but it just meant, oh, isn't that, I just get this sense of, isn't that wonderful? I don't know why exactly, but just, but the Word of God's like that. It's with power. You know, it speaks to your heart, and it goes right by your mind. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. Yeah, amen. His glory is great in thy salvation. David said, my glory is great, but only because of your salvation in my life. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. I have honor and I have majesty, but it's only because it's God-given. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Would you say that with me? Most blessed forever. Now that's a mouthful. David said, you've made me most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. The idea there is that you have made me so glad because of your presence. For the king, and this is why all these things are happening, for the king trusteth in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Now, what's that say? Because I trust in the Lord, all these blessings are mine. And because of my trusting in him, his mercy is mine. And because of the mercy of God, not because of the deserving of me. You understand the difference? David said, I'm not going to be moved, not because I'm wise, healthy, or wealthy. I'm not going to be moved because of the mercy of God. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. God, you know who all the enemies are, and you'll expose them. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. At the right time, you'll burn them, Lord. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. I like that. Don't you? Now what David is saying is, those who have come against me, the reason they've come against me, David said, is because they're your enemies, God. And he said, they intended evil against thee. Didn't Jesus say to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when the devil wants to get at the Lord, who does he come against? He comes against his children. David understood that in a way. And he said, they intended evil against thee. They're coming against me, but they intend evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device. They had it all plotted and schemed, but they are not able to perform it. They do not have the ability to bring this off. And the only way that it could ever happen is if I let it happen, because they don't have the power to overwhelm me. Therefore, verse 12, shalt thou make them turn their back. Now notice who's going to make them turn their back. The Lord, thou shalt make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Now let's go to the 25th. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. The word ashamed there means disgraced. Let me not be disgraced Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let not mine enemies defeat me so that I am in disgrace. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed or disgraced. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me what your way is. Teach me your path and your direction. Show me your truth, for you're the one who has saved me, and I'm waiting for you. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been of old. In other words, just be like you always have been. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. In other words, I know I've missed it. I know I haven't been perfect. But he says, Lord, do not treat me according to what I deserve. Don't remember all the dumb things and the evil things that I've done. But rather, according to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Now David said, I don't want you to treat me like I should be treated, but I want you to treat me according to how you are and who you are, according to your mercy. Treat me for your own goodness' sake, not for my goodness. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek or the humble will he guide in judgment. Those that acknowledge that they don't have all the answers will he guide in making correct decisions. And the meek or the humble will he teach his way. Now, his way is always the right way and the best way. And David confesses that he that is meek, the Lord helpeth the humble, but he opposeth the proud. And David said, the humble God will have God as his teacher and his guide. All the paths of the Lord, everything that the Lord would instruct you to do, and everything that he would direct you to do, all of his paths are mercy and truth. Unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. They're not grievous and they're not harsh because we love him and we want to do what he wants us to do. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he, God, shall choose. If a man will reverence God, the promise is that God will teach him or guide him in the way that God has chosen, the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and so on. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, his offspring, his produce shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Does that minister to you? My eyes are ever towards the Lord. I look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the one got me started, and he's the finisher also of my faith. And while the devil may have laid a net for me, and the enemy may have laid a snare for me so that he can destroy me, that I will keep my eyes on the Lord. When I do, he will show me his paths, and the net result of that will be that the Lord will pluck my feet out of the net. And no matter what kind of a scheme that the devil has hatched against me, it will not prosper, it will not occur, and it will not develop, because God will deliver me from that, and he will take me out of the net before the trap springs. Now, I may be in the net, but before the thing springs, he will take me out of it. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. You ever felt that way? Alone and in deep trouble. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes we can even make mountains out of molehills. And we enlarge the troubles that we have, however great they may be. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses, is his prayer. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Forgive me for the dumb things that I've done that allowed me to be prey to my enemy. And forgive me for anything that I have done that has given the devil place in my life. And forgive me for anything I have done which has withheld your blessing from me. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Did you know the devil wants to kill you? And all of the things in between. They hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Underline the word all his troubles. And then, let's look at 1 Peter a moment. Chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and reading the 7th verse. Let's read this verse together. Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now the idea there is the word care is a synonym for the word anxiety. All of your fears, all of your anxieties, everything that is troubling you, that which is attacking your mind. Peter said, take all of those things and all of your anxiety, all of your care, all of your problems, all of your troubles, and do what with them? Cast them on the Lord. Now, how would you do that? How would you go about casting your troubles on the Lord? Well, okay, but is there something you can do as an act that will help you do it? With your mouth. With your mouth. You say, Lord, I take this problem with my family. I take this problem with my job. I take this problem with my finances. I take this problem with so-and-so, whatever it is, and I cast it over on you. And I'm not going to fuss with it. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm giving it to you because your word says you have care for me. You have a deep concern for me, and you want to look after me. And I know that as long as I'm trying to solve this problem, you can't. So I'm going to take it and just lay it over on you in prayer. And then I'm going to refuse to think about it anymore. I'm going to refuse to muse on it anymore. I'm going to refuse to worry or fret about it anymore. The Amplified Bible says, if I can quote it correctly, I don't have that in front of me, but if I remember correctly, the Amplified Bible says, casting once and for all of your cares on the Lord. And not casting them and then taking them back and then casting and taking them back and casting and taking them back, and which we do so many times. We take them back, try to solve them. We can't, and we get to the end of the rope, and so we throw it over on the Lord again. It's kind of a last resort. But then when maybe this will work, then we take it back again and try to work the thing out. And then when we get to the end of our rope again and we throw it over on the Lord. The Amplified gives us the idea here, which Peter is saying, the Holy Ghost is saying through Peter, to take it once and for all and throw it over on the Lord, cast it over on the Lord, with the assurance that he really cares for us and that he will not take it and just throw it back to us or take it and sweep it under the rug and not look after it. All right, let's go to Philippians then, chapter 4. And read verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. By the way, while we have a pause here, let me just express something to you. What happened with that child just now, that will happen from time to time with the best of children. And you can't plan that. Sometimes a child will wake up from a sound sleep in the middle of a message like this. She's been sleeping for 30 minutes, and she'll just wake up and for no reason burst out. And you can't control that. And that's no problem. The problem is if you sit there for 15 minutes trying to quiet the child down. The appropriate thing is when that occurs, you instantly, you get up and leave, take the child outside, and when you get the child back under control and quieted down, then you come back in and sit down, okay? Nobody ever get upset over that, okay? So just take advantage of the opportunity there to express to you that what was just occurring was what ought to be occurring, okay? Philippians 4 and 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing. Here's this word care again. Be anxious about nothing. Refuse any kind of worry and any kind of anxiety. And here's the way you deal with it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known unto God. God, I have need in these areas, and I make request for you, and now I cast it over on you, and I thank you for looking after it, and I refuse to worry anymore about it. And then finally, let's go to the book of Exodus. In my relatively brief experience with the Lord, I have found Him to always be this way. Exodus chapter 14. This passage gives us the wonderful story of the miracle at the Red Sea. And I think most of us have experienced times at one another time in our lives where we've felt like we're at the Red Sea. You just can't move ahead, but there's no way you can go back. You can't go forward, and you can't go back. There's danger or what appears to be an impossible situation in front, and there's an impossible situation behind, and there's just no direction for you to go, and you're there, and you call out to the Lord in your trouble, and you ask Him, what should you do? Verse 13 of Exodus 14, that's where the Israelites were. A sea in front of them that they could not go across. It's incredible to me. People say the Red Sea at this point is only a few inches deep. You don't go all to pieces in front of a few inch deep swamp. I mean, you just go through it. And so we see that. And plus, a few inches of water is not going to drown Pharaoh's chariots and all of his charioteers. So there was a formidable obstacle in front of them they could not go through. And they could not go back because Pharaoh and his warriors were behind them. Now, let me read a number of verses, and I want to show you two things. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, David seemed to understand this, didn't he, when we were reading there in the Psalms? And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go backward. I've never heard the Lord say go backward. I've never heard Him say go backward. He always says go forward. Move forward. And I tell you where I am. If the Lord would have said to me on the day there at the Red Sea, go forward, I would have probably moved like this, an inch at a time, hoping that something would happen before I get to the water, like this. Now, I know He wants us to step out and go boldly, see. But even if we can't step out and go boldly into water that's over our head, if we can step an inch, at least we're moving forward, aren't we? At least we're moving the right direction. Now, it will take longer for the water to part, see? We could get it with one bold step. But if we're not able to do that, if our faith isn't that big, we just take a few little ones. And it will take a little longer, but when we get to the place where we could have made in one step, you know what will happen? The water will part. Something will occur so that we can go forward. So, but we say, well, what if I'm going so slow that the thing which is behind me catches me? You know, and I mean, these are practical considerations. What if I don't move fast enough when I'm between the devil and the deep blue sea, so to speak? Well, let me encourage you. Verse 16, we'll just read on through it, but I want you to see something here. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God's in the process of doing a miracle. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Now watch this and see if you pick it up. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And so if you're only moving an inch at a time, if you can only take baby steps in your faith, you just take baby steps. Because the Spirit of God will set up a defense between you and the enemy that's behind you so that they will not be able to see clearly enough to attack you. And they will not be able to come to you until you get to your miracle. Now, you can turn around and run smack into them, you know, and they'll devour you. But as long as you're moving forward, I believe there's a principle here. As long as you are inching forward in your faith, as long as you're moving forward in your faith life and your faith walk, and as long as you're moving towards the goal that's ahead, moving ahead rather than backing up, I believe God gives you whatever time you may need to take that big step. And if you can take it immediately, go on, take it. That's fine. But if you can only take it a little bit at a time, you take it just a little bit at a time, and God will set up a defense for behind you so that you're not attacked while your back is turned. As long as you're moving forward, the Lord will see that you can outdistance whatever is coming behind. I'm reminded of the story that about Elijah. You remember when Elijah saw rain? And Ahab, he sent Ahab on ahead. He said, Ahab, you better head for town because rain is coming. Remember, there hadn't been rain for 3.5 years. And Ahab got in his chariot, and he's driving his horses for town. And Elijah goes up on the mount, and he's looking for rain. And he sends his servant, go out and see if there's rain. No rain, nothing coming. And Elijah had said to Ahab, there's going to be rain. It'll rain before you get to town, Ahab. And he sent his man 7 times, go back. I know there's rain coming. Go back and look again. And he looked and came back, no rain, nothing, no clouds, nothing. Go look again. I know that it's going to rain. I know that it's on the way now. Go look again. He did this 7 times. And finally, on the 7th time, the servant came back and he said, it's not raining, but I see a cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, hallelujah, I knew it was going to rain. And he pulled up his loincloth and he started to run. And he caught Ahab on the way to Jerusalem. Now, Ahab is the king, and the king always has the fastest horses. I mean, the king doesn't drive old plugs. He drives the fastest horses. And Ahab is whipping those horses to a sweat to get to town before the rain comes. And Elijah passes him. Like this. Now see, the Lord will either give you the speed you need, see, to outdistance your enemy, or he'll set something between you and him so that he can't catch you if you're already ahead of him, if you understand what I mean. See? And so that's the power of God in operation. And those scriptures just did minister to me. You're in a situation perhaps where your body is hurting and you've got a lot of pain in your body, and the doctor said you got to have surgery on such and such, and you feel squeezed and you're pressured in on that, and you don't know what decision to make. It may be a situation with your finances and you don't know exactly what to do. And I believe the word for the Lord is today is go forward. Just go forward. Don't back up. Just keep going ahead. Just keep stepping out forward. Just move on. Just move ahead. Because he's the God of moving on. He's the one that moves ahead and never backs up. Well, I think that's all I have to share out of the word this morning. Anybody have anything of the Lord's word that they want to share from the congregation that would edify or encourage or comfort the people this morning? Let me take one other scripture and let me just spring off from that, Judy, if I might. 2 Chronicles 20 and is the familiar story of Jehoshaphat and his great victory over the Moabite, Ammonite, and Edomite armies, and how when Jehoshaphat got the word, he was king over Judah, when he got the word that this enemy had come against him to battle, verse number 3 says, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. He fasted, he prayed to get the mind of the Lord. And in his prayer, verse number 12, we heard from this back in March. He says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We don't know what you want us to do, but we're looking to you because you're our source and you're our supply. And apart from you, without you, we're going down the drain. We cannot make it without you. We're betwixt and we're between. We have no way to free ourselves from this impending battle, and there's impossible for us to win it. And so we need you. And the prophet of the Lord came forth in the congregation and began to prophesy and said that the battle was not yours, but it was the Lord's, verse number 15. And in verse 17, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which is with you. And then if you'll notice, the verse I want you to see is verse 22. Jehoshaphat had appointed praisers and singers and Levites and trumpet players and dancers to praise the Lord. And they went out to do battle, but they were not, didn't take their spears. They took their instruments of praise. And it was, you know, if God didn't come through for them, they were going down anyway, whether they had their weapons or not. So they took their praise weapons. And notice the way this verse is recorded, verse 22. And when they began to praise, began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now notice the sequence there. When they began to praise, the Lord set ambushments. So which came first? The praise of the people. Now why did the people praise the Lord? What motivated their praise? It was faith that sponsored their praise. For they praised the Lord on the basis of his promise. I'm going to take care of this for you. Just thank me for it, even though you don't see it yet. And so while they were standing there looking at this tremendous enemy army that was threatening and was about to destroy them, they began to sing and play their instruments and praise the Lord. And as they began to praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, they began to praise him for his mercy endureth forever. As they began to worship him and thank him for victory, then the victory began. It's like Acts 2:4. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A lot of folks want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They want God to go ahead and give it all to them. Then they'll decide whether it's right or not. Then they'll start speaking. It doesn't work that way. You must start speaking, and then he'll give you the words. And this is the principle all through the Word of God. Praise is a mighty weapon that moves God's mighty hand on our behalf. Yes, Joan?
When we were praising the Lord earlier, I just felt like I was at the Fulcher's house again many years ago. It just felt like home again. And whenever he gave me the gifts of the Spirit at the Fulcher's house, I didn't know what I was doing. I just operated blindly, and then I was taught the Word. And then I kind of withdrew back thinking, you know, I really don't want to do this. But I want everyone to know today that it's a joy to have the gifts of the Lord, and that I'm going to go on and operate what God tells me to do. And that if I miss the Lord, I'm going to trust my leadership to give me guidance. And today he's telling me that I need to voice the word of knowledge that he has given me about some things today so that God can give it life. That he gave us the gifts to speak it. And once we speak it, then he can give it life and go on with it. So I'm going to speak it by faith. When you and James and Don Richard were up there, he showed me a great big bucket that goes down into a well. And it had sun written on the bucket. And he says to each one of you men that he's going to put your son in that bucket, and he's bringing them in with the wealth of salvation. And it's like a great big bucket, and they were trying to, I'm thinking of Scott and I don't know all the situations with Don, but I was seeing like they were out doing their own thing. He'd take one arm and put it in, and they just try to go ahead, and they had to keep near that bucket. And he'd take their leg, and they were trying to, half of them was in, but they were struggling still. And it's like they were struggling against the Spirit of the Lord, but he has them in their wells of salvation, and he is bringing them home. And that's the first word. There is somebody here that has the lower part of their leg and the bone is overlapped too closely together, and the Lord is parting that bone, and the pain is leaving now. And he says it's by his power, by his word, and you just receive that.
Praise God.
I'd like to know so much who it is, but I'm just I get my faith in work, and there's also somebody here that is believing for a house, and you do not have it yet, and it hasn't been put into motion. And the Lord says that this house is yours today. And then I saw the last thing is I saw a bucket, and it didn't have coriander seed on it. I guess this is. All I saw was it written on the
what the mantle was like.
The bucket, and it had coriander seed on it. And the Lord says that if you haven't heard your need spoken, take this coriander seed and speak it, and he will honor it, and he will give it life. that that's just the manna. The manna is believing that that's who the true God is.
Okay. All right.